How many like to be able to sleep like that? Just, amen. Just don't do it now, okay? All right. Okay, I think an exciting word for you. And who are we really in God? Who are we? A lot of times we're defined, our parents define us if they're not believers, you know. I wish you could be like your sister, wish you could be like your brother. You know, you're a loser, you'll always be one, et cetera, et cetera. But how many know that when we were born again, we have a loving Heavenly Father who wants our walk and our life to be defined by His Word? Tell your neighbor, my walk with God is defined by the Word of God. All right, and that's what we're going to do today. So who are we really? And we want to just investigate this today. So, Father, we bless the Word of God today. Let it get down deep in our hearts and our minds, as it already is in our spirit. And we thank you for great liberty today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go ahead. Romans 10, verse 6, lead off scripture. But the righteousness of faith, we're going to talk about that today. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, who will bring Christ down from above. The main thing I want you to see in this particular verse is that the righteousness of faith speaks. Tell your neighbor, you have to speak the Word of God. It's not going to happen by osmosis. You have to speak it, first of all, over yourself, right? Well, what if you don't feel like it? Well, tell that part of yourself that is a complainer, shut up. Have you ever had to do that? Just be quiet. I don't want to hear from you now, okay? I've heard from you enough. But we need to begin to speak over our lives. This is going to be a great day because I serve a great God. Amen. I'm walking in the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit, regardless of what happens. See? So we have to educate ourselves to walk in that. So let's dig a little bit deeper. Give you the first fill in here. If you're new, I like to do these fill-ins because that way you can take the message home and you can study it on your own during the week, which I think is a good plan to do. Okay. First thing is the righteousness of Christ is a gift. It's a gift. You say, well, I didn't do anything to deserve it. That's right. That's because it's a gift. Let's look at Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam, death reigned through the one, much more, say much more, we serve a much more God, right? Much more those who receive abundance of grace. Say, I have received abundance of grace. Listen, man, when God gives you, He doesn't do it little bitty. He's not chintzy, okay? He is a great, magnanimous God, hallelujah, to the Lord. By one man's offense, death reigned through one. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace, say, that's me, and the gift of righteousness. How many know you didn't earn it? You could never earn it. It was a total gift to you when you gave your heart to Christ. And the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ, right? How many know God will change you from glory to glory? How many know we have not reached perfection? I was going to say you can lean over and tell the person next to you, especially you, you know. We have a sense of humor here, right? But how many know that we're growing to maturity? I have to, is it okay if I tell off on myself? Because I'm going to do it regardless, right? All right, okay, so We were down in Georgia this week, and we had a great time with the grandkids. We went there with the desire and the attitude to spoil them, which we did. I think we did well. We accomplished that, you know. But we had a blast. We had a really good time. I had allowed some things to get in my heart that I shouldn't have gotten in my heart about. I'm not going to tell you. It was not between Ian and I, but it was just some things this week. Anybody ever do that? Anybody ever do that? We were getting into the car, and some lady was turning in. She worked there, and she was asking for something. I couldn't understand it. And I just began to shout at her. Say, that's no good. That's no good, right? And so I got in the car and I said, Ina, let's go. And but how many know the Lord won't let that go, right? And he was telling me, he said, you know, you that was not good. I love you, but that was not a good thing. And so I repented, which is what we ought to do when we do stuff like that. And then I said, Lord, if you want me to make this right, like, yeah, what a prayer, right? then you cause me to see this lady again. And then I told her just like this. I said, my flesh didn't want to do this, but I'll do it because I need to do it. But help me out here. So the next day, I'm in an elevator. We're checking out. There she is in the elevator. Just her. Just me. I went, okay, God, we got a really good sense of humor here, you know. And so the lady said, didn't we talk yesterday? I said, look, dear, I said, I apologize to you. I said, I had a bad attitude. There's no excuses. Will you please forgive me? And she was, of course, we all have bad days, you know. She said, I'm letting you off the hook, sucker. But you know, just, anyway, we need to be quick to do these things, right? Because we haven't arrived yet. But we still, that's why we need what? The gift of Christ righteousness, right? Okay, so let me see if there's any other fill-ins. I think there probably is, yeah. And so is his faith. So we actually have the gift of righteousness, not ours, but Jesus. And then we also have the gift of faith. It isn't even your faith. It is not your righteousness, and it is not your faith. It's his. Say it's his. So let's look at Galatians 2. Knowing this, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, I love this, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So you have the faith of Jesus Christ on the inside of you. And you can actually, if you want to jot down another scripture, we won't go there right now, but Galatians 2:20 says exactly the same thing. So quit trying to work it up. You already have it. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you already have it. You already have his faith. And you have his righteousness. Okay. Said, even we who have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, just as if you've never sinned, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Sometimes we slip back into the works of the law, and then the Lord begins to check us on that. Okay. So, says here, as a result, we have right standing with God the Father. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says we are just as righteous as Jesus is, and the part of that of us that is perfect is our spirit. Our spirit is the part of us that's been born again, for he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become, what? The righteousness of God in him. So we have not only good days, we have great days ahead of us. Okay? How many know that his blood is constantly washing us? Amen. Whether we're alive or asleep, it's just continually washing us. He anticipated every area of our lives that we'd have difficulty with. And he's made a way for us. Okay? Amen. All right, so let's look at number two. We need to be established. Now, there's some powerful truth here I want to share with you. This is good stuff, man. We need to be established in his righteousness. Let's look at the scriptures. I don't know if you've spent any time in these scriptures, but there's some powerful things here. Isaiah 54, verse 14. In righteousness, this is prophetic of the coming righteousness that Jesus would bring to us. In righteousness you shall be established. That means you're settled. You're sealed. sealed by the Holy Spirit. You're settled in your mind, settled in your heart, right? Because you have the mind of Christ as well. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. Say, I'm far from oppression. For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. I want to live that way. How many of you want to live that way? Right? I have some things to share in a minute. Then it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That means when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises a standard up, right? Through his Holy Spirit, which is the word of God. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. How many know the enemy loves to try to judge us? And he tries to accuse us, and he tries to condemn us, right? But how many know he is a liar, right? He's a liar, he's the father of lies, and there's no truth in him. That's a good three-point message right there. Praise the Lord. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Now, once you come to the place where you really know you are the righteousness of God in Christ, you know it. You know it's not your goodness. You know you're going to fail from time to time, but you're what? You're on your way to glory. Isn't that right? Once that happens, then you're not going to start fearing anymore. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We're going to start walking in that sure assurance, right? And we're not going to worry about whether we're going to, you know, are we going to make it? No, that's already been settled for you, right? There's only one place for you to go, and that's to glory, right? And so this is the will of God for you, and he wants you to deal with oppression when it comes against you. How many know we have to speak against the enemy? I'm not taking that from you, Jack. Oh, no. I'm not taking, because I've been translated from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and I don't have to take any of your junk. I remember one time we were in New Orleans. A lot of car thefts in New Orleans. Of course, there are a lot of car thefts everywhere now, seemingly. So Ann and I would get up in the morning, and we'd go to prayer. At a 6 o'clock prayer, we'd pray to 7, the church. We had people doing that for a good season. So I get up, and we had two cars. We had, I think, a station wagon, and we had this old car. It was a, I don't even remember what it was. It was gray, and I think it had red interior and all this kind of thing. And but it got us to where we wanted to go. And so we get up in the morning, and I noticed the station wagon was still there in the driveway, but the other car was not there. Ooh. So somebody had come in and stolen it in the night. So we go, and I'm numb. Ever been in a situation where you just numb? And we just kind of like, we were like zombies. We just went to prayer like, whoa, you know, somebody doesn't like us. And then about halfway through the day, I started getting mad. Bible says, be angry and sin not. But I was angry at the powers of hell for what they did. And then I started saying, oh, no. You said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so I'm going to do that. And so I began to speak the word of God against the power, against the spirit of thievery that I had just experienced, I. And I started praying in the spirit, and then I got really bold. And I said, devil, you hear me now. I said, it's 2 in the afternoon. I said, by midnight, the car is going to be back in our driveway. Do you understand me? I tell you, it's going to happen. And I just began to speak the word of God. About 9 o'clock that night, I got a telephone call because I had filled out a police report earlier in the day. I got a call from the police station. And they said, they described the car, and they said, we found it. Can you come out to such and such a place? And I said, sure. So I got out there, and it had been in a... actually driven into a sandbank, and they had to get a guy to pull it out. And they said, is it okay if once we get this car out, we'll tow it back to your house, and then the tow truck guy is going to take you back home? I said, fine, that's good. So we got the car. I'm looking at my watch. It's about 9:30. Hallelujah. All right. So, but I said, Satan, I'm not done with you yet. No. How many of we can't be intimidated, man? We are the ones that intimidate, right? So the guy comes in. He pulls his, we get the, everything taken care of. The tow truck brings it out, hooks it up. The guy says, come on up in the cab with me. So I hop up in there. He tells me his name. I said, look, do you have a mother named such and such? And he goes, yeah, I do. How do you know her? I said, well, about a month ago, she came in our church and got saved, and I water baptized her. And I said, but before we water baptized her, she and I made an agreement in prayer that you would be saved. Don't mess with God's people. Don't mess. So he burst into tears. And I said, so you see how God brought this whole thing together. And I said, you know, I was angry about it, but now I'm happy. Because, and he gave his heart to Jesus. Right? So, but here's the deal. It ain't over till it's over. You determine when it's over. Isn't that right? All right. So, praise God. Had to tell you that story. All right, let's go to number three. You are now, this gets people upset, religious people. You are now perfect in God's eyes, in your spirit. Well, Brother Dave, I need some scripture for that. Well, we got it. According to Hebrews 10, verses 12 and 14, I love this. How many know you are spirit, soul, and body? How many know your body's shot? I mean, we can keep it alive as long. Look, at my age, I like to work out at the gym twice a week and walk at least three times a week because I believe it's important we keep ourselves fit, right? But how many know we're all going to get new bodies one day? How many know we all need that? Lean over and tell the person next to you, especially you. It's like the Virginian. Smile when you say that, buddy, you know? But these are some just really key scriptures. Hebrews 10, 12, and 14. But this man, speaking of Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. How many know your sins have been done away with forever? Forever. Sat down at the right hand of God. That means he's finished with what he'd come to do as far as dealing with the sin issue. Sat down at the right hand of God, for by one offering he has what? Perfected forever. Those who are being sanctified. You are perfected in your spirit. Say, I'm perfected in my spirit. Right? Who are being sanctified. That is in our soul. How many know our mind needs to be renewed every day? Right? Every day we need our mind renewed by his word. All right? For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Okay. Now let's look at, I think, verse 14. But this man, I guess we combine it. Good. We're good. We're cool. Very good. But I love those scriptures. I love them, man. They're great. All right. When you sin, acknowledge it like I did on our vacation. I acknowledge it, right? I mean, no, we need grace to just acknowledge it sometimes because our flesh didn't want to acknowledge anything, right? That's why the spirit in us should rule our soul and our flesh. Okay, when you sin, acknowledge it, but know his blood continually washes us. Boy, I love that. Well, Pastor Dave, that's cool, but I need some scripture to verify. Okay, let's look at 1 John 1, 7. What did I do? Oh, I was so anxious to get down there. Okay. All right. We're going to cover this one then. You have traded in an evil conscience. There are some people that their conscience is always going to condemn them, right? It's an evil, the Bible calls it an evil conscience. Let's look at Hebrews 10, verse 2, and then verse 21 and 22. For then they would have not ceased to have be offered, speaking of sacrifices. For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. God does not want us to be sin conscious. How many know Christ's sacrifice for us once and for all is perfect? Can you say amen? And that sacrifice that he made once and for all has set us free from being sin conscious. I don't want a show of hands, but how many of you were in a situation at one time where you, every time you sinned or you felt you did, you had to confess it immediately? How many know that's impossible? You could be doing that 24/7, right? Because there's some things you don't even know. Like, did I love that person enough? Did I have enough patience for that individual? You know, we think, well, I cussed, or I had an evil thought, or something like that. Well, maybe the enemy put that thought in your mind and condemned you for having it. But we need to walk with an understanding that we are continually being washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. God wants us to be righteousness conscious, not sin conscious. Tell the person next to you, God wants you righteousness conscious. Speaking of Jesus' righteousness. Okay. And then 21 and 22. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. God wants you to have full assurance. If you sin conscious, you're not going to have full assurance, right? There are times when God wants you to deal with a particular sin, like I had to do, right? Deal with it. But you know, I felt so good afterwards. I knew I did the right thing. I knew I pleased the Lord, right? And so once we deal with it, quit thinking about it because his blood is washing you. He's forgiven you. He continually washes us. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. The evil conscience is when you're trying to think about sin all the time, right? And our bodies washed with pure water. Praise the Lord. Okay. Then I said, when you sin, acknowledge it, but know his blood is continually washing us. Let's see 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another, right? If we're walking around with a lot of unforgiveness in our hearts and bitterness and stuff, I mean, no, we can't have fellowship with each other. You know, I don't want to be around that person. Why? Well, I think they said something to somebody else about me. Get over it. We've all done stuff like that. Come on, right? I mean, first of all, we need to forgive ourselves because he's forgiven us. Well, I have a high standard. Shut up. It's not higher than God's standard. He's already forgiven you. Forgive yourself and move on, right? Okay. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, and the Greek gives the understanding, cleanses us from all sin. It's a continual washing. Tell your person next to you, the person next to you, you are continually being cleansed by the blood of Christ. 24/7. 24/7. Praise God. See, God wants us to do exploits in his name, but how many know we can't do it if we're thinking about ourselves all the time? Get yourself off your hands. Come on, man. All right? Okay. And I think you do. I mean, all right, so let's look at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write unto you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. That means a sacrifice. And not for our sins only, but also for the whole world. Would to God that the whole world knew what you know. How many are praying for that? I mean, it's obviously it's not going to happen. But he's made the what? The sacrifice available. All right. So number four, our priority every day is to acknowledge your right standing with the Father. Let's read the scripture and then we'll make some comments. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All right? So God's kingdom is his rulership. It's his rulership. And the Bible says you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Colossians 1, verse 13. Not in your notes. Okay. Let's look at Romans 5, 17. For by one man's, if by one man's offense, meaning Adam, death reigned through the one, there's a phrase much more. Say much more. Much more those who receive abundance of grace. Say, that's me. And of the gift of righteousness. Say, that's me. Will reign in life. Say, that's me. Through the one, Jesus Christ. See, that's where God wants to take us. He wants us to reign in life in every area. One more scripture, and I got a great illustration. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but that's good. We're going to do a little bit of that later, right? The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, Christ's righteousness, and peace, that's Jesus' peace, and joy, that's his joy, right, in the Holy Spirit. Wow, love it. Now, years ago, I thought, Monday night, I'm off. Ina and I will probably go out and get something to eat, have something good. And this is in New Orleans. And I get a phone call from this lady. She said, you don't know me. But she said, my husband and I are desperate. We need prayer. My husband really needs prayer. He's ready. She said, he's ready to be changed. I went, she said, you don't know us. We don't go to your church. But would you meet with us? And I said, sure, I'll meet with you. Told her the address of the church. They show up. This great big guy comes walking in. How many know you can't judge people by their looks? You can't do it. And this smaller lady comes in, very sweet lady. He comes in. My name's Whitey. Oh, okay. He was a foreman of a sugar plant, sugar cane or whatever. And so I look at the guy. I made some wrong judgments. Didn't voice him, but I made some wrong judgments. I think, this guy is never going to probably receive the word. So I'm going to hit him up alongside the head with a heaven or hell turn or burn message. Oh, yeah. I don't do that usually. I mean, I'm just being honest. So I lay the wood on him. Tell him that this is what you got to do, pal. If you want to give your heart, quit. You don't want to play games anymore. You need to repent of your sins. You need to get right with Jesus. You need to confess with your mouth that, you know, he's your Lord and Savior. Gave him the whole plan of salvation. The guy bursts into tears. I'm going, whoa, did I miss it? He turns. I said, well, let's pray together. So he gets down on his knees and just destroys my couch with tears, which is okay. That's okay. That's what that couch is for, right? And I knelt down with him, you know, and I didn't repent of my attitude initially. And I laid hands on him and just we prayed together. And his wife's bawling and she's crying. And then he goes, what's next? I said, oh, let's water baptize you next Sunday. Oh, that'd be awesome. Let's do it. And I said, also, we're going to get you filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, whatever that. So I taught him on that, taught him on water baptism. And so we show up for the time to do the water baptism. and it's in front of the whole church on a Sunday night. And his wife said, he has been witnessing to all his friends all week. He has been, we would say, seeking first the kingdom of God. Not ashamed, telling everybody what happened. So I said, Whitey, tell everybody, and it's a couple hundred people on a Sunday night, what happened to you? And he, oh God, I'm no longer the same. I was a roughneck. I was a jerk. And he goes on. He said, but now I got a new heart. You know, and it was wonderful, right? He passed away the next week. His wife calls me up. She said, would you do his funeral? I was stunned, man. I mean, I wanted this guy around a long time, you know. And apparently he had problems with emphysema and that kind of thing. So the funeral was in a little town called Chalmette. Matthew, you know about that. And so I said, Lord, what's the scripture that I'm supposed to bring today, these people? He said, tell them it's, give them the gospel of Whitey. I said, okay, just tell the story, right, Lord? Yeah, that's right. That's good. So I got there, you know, and all these big dudes, they all looked like Whitey, man. They were all, you know, had state police around. So I told them the whole story. Boy, you couldn't hear a pin drop, you know. I said, bow your head, close your eyes. And so I said, if you want what Whitey received, because I said, you know, we're not promised tomorrow. I kind of laid a same kind of thing, you know. I said, grace, but also got to give you the truth. And hands went up. And just prayed. Sinner's prayer. We went to gravesite, we're done. But see, God knows this. This guy preached the kingdom for a full week after he got saved. All his friends heard it. Final one, number five. We have everlasting righteousness. Ooh, I love this. Everlasting. Say everlasting. That means never ending. Wow. Daniel 9:24, let's look at it. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, prophetic of Jesus 700 years earlier, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Tell your neighbor, you have everlasting righteousness. To seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Wow. You have everlasting righteousness. It will never, ever end. Wow. You know, one of the reasons, the main reason, is because we have a high priest forever over the people of God. Back in the Old Testament, high priest would die, they'd put a new one in. You know, they never sat down. They were always working. Jesus finished the thing and sat down. What did he finish? That. He finished it and he sat down, and as a result of that, you have everlasting righteousness. Let's stand. Praise God. A couple more verses and then we'll pray. Hebrews 9:12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. Spirit of God is so heavy, I can feel, whoa, once for all, having obtained what? Eternal redemption. Eternal, everlasting. Similar. Let's look at Romans 5:19, final scripture. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Wow, beautiful. Altar team, come on down. In a minute, the altar will be open for people who need any kind of prayer, any kind of prayer. Our altar team is going to be praying for, we're going to have like a special cloth, and our dear sister Cece,